With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hey everyone, it's Mark from Guitar Nerds here, letting you know that we finally have merch back for sale. After a long period of not having any merch in the Guitar Nerds store, we've got a new t-shirt design available in black or white, and finally, Guitar Nerds mugs. It's the Christmas present that you've all been shouting out for. Head over to guitarnerds.net/shop where you'll find two different t-shirt designs available in XS right up to double XL, and also the awesome Guitar Nerds mug. guitarnerds.net/shop. Hello everyone and welcome to the Guitar Nerds Podcast. I'm your host Mark Packham, joined this evening by Jay Cross.
Hello.
And Joe Branton.
Hola muchachos.
How's it going?
You're very loud.
Really?
Yeah, can you just turn down my headphones, please?
Yeah, sure. I think you're on that one.
Thanks.
Yeah. There we go.
So that was a good little line check there.
I like to think that people at home are getting like woken up by it as well, you know? Like,
wake me up.
Before you podcast.
Because I'm not planning on...
being last.
Oh my god.
You can't really rhyme podcast with last.
Pain.
You can.
Unadulterated pain.
He wouldn't know. Being an instrumental band.
Yeah, that's true. He doesn't know about words and stuff. Jay Cross, how's it going?
Very good, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, very good. Good week.
It's been all right. Yeah, I wasn't here last week, was I?
You were not. You missed out on me and Joe Branton doing, I don't know, probably one of the best podcasts ever.
Yeah, we had a two-way in your home.
We did. Yeah. It was good.
That's interesting. Is that how, that's what you think it's called when two people
A two-way.
It's a two-way. Has it been that long?
It's a two, yeah.
Right, okay.
Joe's
interesting.
Joe's just having one-man sessions the entire time.
Okay.
He's forgotten what a good two-way is like.
Fine, thank you. I haven't listened to last week's podcast.
Of course you didn't.
But I normally do when I'm not here, but I've been too busy this week.
Do you know what you missed out on?
Pete, you talking about double necks?
Yeah, I'm not, though, are you? On a journey to double neckness.
You're not going to get
one. Do you know what? Actually, I am.
But you're...
I've already found it.
But...
I thought you'd ordered it.
Well, I contacted... Actually, the supplier hasn't got back to me.
Okay.
But they're notoriously a little rapey, which actually, now that I've said that, I probably shouldn't mention what it is.
Yeah, don't say it. Yeah, don't say what it is. But
rapey supplier. But I will have it anyway.
You also missed out.
You won't,
and then everyone
will
know. Yeah, I will. No, I actually will. I actually will. I really will. Do you know why I will? Because I was thinking about... the Guitar Nerds crew, and you know how cool like a photo of us all with our gear would be, and everyone's like got this defining piece of equipment, like as in
I've got the best bass in the world.
If I was going to like define you, I would say middle of the road,
and your
bass is the most, actually I wouldn't use the bass anyway, I would have actually said the coolest thing you have is the Les Paul Junior,
which is punk rock, punk rock.
I know, that's totally cool. So you've got the Les Paul Junior, that's totally banging.
Okay.
Jay's got the offset telly.
I do.
Which is totally banging.
Yep.
Then Matt Knight's got his pink Les Paul. And these are all like really personality defining guitars, I think, for each of us. And I was like, oh man, I have loads of stuff. But
so you need
like,
something cheap and kooky, basically.
Yeah, so I just wanted something
with a
bit of character. Something
really. A bit of a bit of character.
That defined me.
Something basically completely pointless and it's not very good.
No, what I want is all of those things. It's totally brilliant. My band were quite upset when I announced that I was getting it.
Yeah, I bet they were.
I mean,
if they probably don't want to be seen on stage with you.
Will it mean that you only need to take one bass? You're going to leave one in standard tuning?
Because it's a bass and a guitar. I probably won't use it for the band. I'll just say what I'm getting.
Just say it.
It was actually, I found it because a podcast listener got in touch with me after we did the podcast and was like, I can't believe you didn't know that this is still like an existing product. And it's true. Like,
oh, I did see this.
Yeah, after I'd been on my whole search and everything, I didn't realise that Dan Electro still did the exact double neck that I was banging on about.
Yeah.
I didn't realise it was current catalogue. Well, it's actually not, because the one I was banging on about was a short scale and this is a...
That's better though, isn't it? Long scale.
No, but...
Well, at least it'll stay in tune.
Yeah. The one weird thing is both the guitar and the bass have a completely wooden... bridge.
It's not really going to stand up to being in drop B or whatever you drop down
to. Exactly. But nonetheless, it's going to be fun.
It's going to be. Do you think it's going to be something for home where a double neck is basically pointless because you could just get a guitar and a bass?
No, it's going to be because, you know, I should own one of these.
I'm looking forward to playing it. It's like, going to be great.
If you get it, £600 is not a lot of money for a double neck.
It is quite a lot of money. Though.
300 quid a neck, roughly.
But I'm getting rid of all my Fender. I hate Fender now as a brand.
Why?
Oh. I just don't think they're. I don't think they make anything good.
What are you talking about?
And you know, I've gone full Gibson. And and now I am...
What will he do next?
You're like one of those people clinging on to WCW in 2001 when it was
WCW
clear
was the best.
The time was over.
We don't do wrestling references on the podcast. No one understands them.
Fine.
Anyway,
Goldberg.
Jay Cross.
Yeah, Jay Cross. Have you done anything guitar-related this week? Or have you just been too damn busy?
Well, I put on a show last week.
You did?
That's why I wasn't here.
You put on a band that has no bass player, which is why I didn't go.
No, the reason you didn't go is because you were here.
Yeah, that's right.
And I was there. I did put on a band that has no bass player. I put on three bands last week, and they all sounded really cool.
Descriptive.
Yes. The second band is a band called Personal Best. And the vocalist plays a Firebird into a Cornford.
Oh, really?
And
yeah.
It sounded really,
you don't
really
see that many
good.
Cornfords around these days.
No, all Firebirds.
Yeah, that's true.
I had a lot of time for the cheaper series of Cornford stuff they put out. The Roadhouse.
Okay.
Roadhouse. I think it was Roadhouse, the series. I might be wrong.
Can't remember. I remember the Hurricane, which was quite an expensive one, I seem to remember.
Okay. Yeah, they did a series called The Roadhouse, which were Far Eastern built.
Really?
Yeah, but still really, really good.
Okay. I don't remember those at all.
I know next to nothing about Cornford. I know that they are kind of Marshall-y. That one was.
Yeah, I guess. They always sounded like they needed their speaker to be broken in more than you could ever do it. They always sounded a bit held back to me. But this is a long time ago. This is probably 10 or 15 years ago when I heard one. But they never sounded particularly good to me. But it looks like the range has changed a lot. I didn't even know about the Roadhouse stuff. Yeah, well, it looks like it. These Roadhouse ones are still manufactured, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, they are still manufactured.
Good to know.
I was just reading about them because it's talking about them being hand-wired, but I think this article is just talking about the fact that Cornford in general are. I was under the impression that these were sort of their budget line.
Products discontinued.
Versions.
It says right there.
Oh, yeah, it does. Yeah, but they were great. If you can get hold of one, they're brilliant.
Okay.
So, yeah, there was that. And the other guitar of note was a Strat into a 50s bassman.
Oh.
Or maybe a 60s bassman. But it was a fifth...
Like a real one?
Yeah, I think so. Okay. Yeah, I think so. Maybe it wasn't the 50s one. It was a 50-watt bassman.
Yeah.
It might have... Now I say it out loud.
Silverface.
It was Silverface. It probably was 70s. Now I'm saying it out loud.
It will
loud.
Be 70s.
I had it in my head, but I think I just had the number 50 in my head.
Okay.
because it's a 50 watt.
Yeah, it'll be.
It would have been a 70s one.
Blue writing, blue text.
Yeah, I think so. Similar to my old one.
70s.
And yeah, that's also sounded really good.
Yeah, I bet it did.
Really good. So yeah, that's what I was doing, and it was cool. It was good fun.
Nice, good
rock bands.
Joey B, you've despite being here last week and here this week, you've been away in between.
Yes,
doing gigs and stuff.
Yeah,
what did you do?
Oh, it's just like the mini end of year last few shows. We popped over to Maine and Europe to do a couple of gigs. We were playing this festival in Belgium,
okay,
in Le Louvre, in at a place called La Ferme. And which is great. Le Louvre is a really interesting town in Belgium because it's really new. It's like 40 years old, and unlike our new towns like Milton Keynes, which are just concrete holes, Le Louvre was designed with sort of young people in mind and with
surely
the arts
not.
In mind. Yes,
things being designed for young people and the arts.
It's amazing.
That,
so
surely that never happens.
Yeah.
Does
so
it?
It's got like a university. I think they said it has two universities in the town, and they get lots and lots of government grants as well. So what was there before was farmland. Le Ferme, the farm, is a number of farm buildings that have been bought by an independent arts company that are funded by the council, and they have turned it into the swaggest triple venue.
The swaggest.
Swaggest. Swaggiest?
Okay, swaggiest.
I guess swaggiest. Swaggiest?
Yeah.
They've got, it's a really good venue.
I'd say
like
if
amazing.
You don't know how to say it, maybe
yeah,
you're too old.
Probably,
to,
yeah,
too, definitely fine. Too old. Yeah. Just say it's like radical or
okay, radical.
Hip.
Yeah, hip. We'll go for hip. Anyway, they've got like a really cool, like massive room and then two sort of smaller venue
kay.
Size rooms there as well as studio and loads of other stuff. But it was great. And they were doing, they do loads and loads of music events throughout the year. And this was their alternative music festival, so there was like I cannot emphasize the level like that you especially, Mark, would have not got it, like it would have been so over your head. It was amazing.
What, the bands?
So yeah, so let
oh,
me give
God.
You so okay so
what
there
are they called
was,
like Mr. Mathplex.
Oh my God, come on.
I don't know what are your rubbish bands, they're always one word, aren't they, like Totems or...
no there was most of them
Poles.
Most of them were Japanese or European.
Okay,
Mamont were there, who are like a 12-piece sort of instrumental arcade fiery sort of
right.
thing. But the reason I was mentioned there was a band called Monster who were a Belgian band who are improvisational with a lap steel, a drum kit, and a girl who does projections, but the projections are improvised, so she has clips that she'll run and manipulate based on what's going on in the improvisational piece. Oh yeah, it was great.
Is it like music for PlayStation 1 where you could put in video clips and then put a song underneath?
I don't know actually. I missed their set, unfortunately, but I heard it was very, very good. I was just talking to them afterwards.
It sounds fantastic.
Yes, it was. But yeah, I did that. I went to Belgium and I went to Luxembourg as well.
What's the math scene in Luxembourg like?
Yeah, really good. I really like Luxembourg. It's obviously a lot smaller, but because relatively little happens there. When stuff does happen, there's lots of people and it's a super big night. So yes, both were very good.
How many people were talking for a big Luxembourgian night out?
The Luxembourg was a small venue. We'd sold it out, but it was like
it was like 10 people,
80 people.
It was a bus stop.
Actually, I think it was less than that. But we sold like 250 euros worth of merch, which means that pretty much everyone bought something.
Wow.
Which is pretty good.
Or one person.
Oh, one person
one
just
person
bought it all.
Very rich.
250 euros.
That's true. Yeah. But yes, it was great. Coming back to Belgium, I saw some very interesting stuff there because there was a band called Mammal Hands who were a... they had a drummer.
Let me guess. Two-piece, one person plays a xylophone through effects pedals, and the other person just plays the spoons on their teeth.
So you've seen them then?
Yeah,
right,
yeah, I like them.
That wasn't too far off.
What happened there?
Nothing.
Dropped an F-bomb, sorry.
Yeah, they not too far off. They play... the main guy plays an alto sax.
God.
One of the straight sax through loads of pedals, loads of like delays and modulators and stuff. And
but that's
then...
not.
Come on, you can do it.
I can't.
No, okay.
No, we interviewed.
Different. That was a proper sax. An alto sax is the straight one, a bit like a brass clarinet.
Like, like the like from a, Star Wars, like the cantina.
I don't know. Oh yeah, yeah, just like that.
We are playing Math Rock. We are in Luxembourg and doing.
Well, they were more jazz than Math Rock. It was a Math Rock. Right, I see. But yeah, there was that. They had a drummer who had loads of those little trigger clips on his drums, so some of his drums would like cause samples, but it was on an acoustic drum, it wasn't a separate thing. And they had a guy on a Nord keyboard.
That's
as well.
That's not an alto
sax. It's very good.
Alto
sax is
the
straight
small
one. Yeah, but the straight at the bottom.
Are you saying alto or alto?
Alto.
Oh, right, okay.
No,
fine.
Alto is the small one, then tenor is the larger one, and then baritone is the really big one. You're thinking of a.
Alto is a normal one.
Yeah.
Yeah, the but soprano. With a straight end. Maybe
is it a soprano?
Soprano is the straight one. That's the Courtney Pine one.
Oh, okay.
The fella who we interviewed, by the way, at Arctangent Festival, who played the sax, his name was Otto Koch. Just letting you know.
Otto. Yeah, I remember.
Oh, my God. Anyway, so yes, it was very good. There were lots of interesting, weird guitars and effect-like things there. There you go.
Good. I'm glad you had a good Joe Brown's European vacation.
Yeah, it was good. I mean, I'll tell you what wasn't good. Our van didn't lock. It stopped locking.
Okay.
When we were on our way there, we went to sort of go to the toilet when we were on the Eurotunnel. Van wouldn't lock. Whole time we were there.
So did you have to stay in it the whole time?
No. We just left it. But everything was still there. So that was good.
Weird. I probably wouldn't have done that if I was you. I probably would have gone, all
no,
our
no,
stuff
we,
is in
we,
here.
We wouldn't have, but at both the venues they had private parking.
That's all right. Nice. Quite different from over here where you're just told to go and find an NCP and just do whatever and you're not getting paid.
The Belgium one, we turned up and there were techs there to unload all our stuff onto the stage who had all been briefed on our stage plan and layout already. And then They'd already arranged a guy to chauffeur us to the taxi afterwards so that we could all drink afterwards.
Nice.
Chauffeur us to the hotel.
Luxembourg's
afterwards.
Is it much punk going on?
That was
Luxembourg.
Belgium. Oh. No, there's not punk going on anywhere, mate.
No, that's true. Dead, isn't it? Talking about punk, I had a band practice last night and P basses are wicked. That's P bass through SVT4 last night, which sounded okay. Too many knobs on the old SVT4.
Yeah,
I agree. It's the one that bi-amps, which you sort of plug in and go, I'm never really sure if when I plug in an SVT4, if I've ever plugged it incorrectly. Because there's so many different ways to plug it in on the back. That just confusing. Just put a classic in all practice rooms.
SVT4s are cool, though. There was an SVT4, actually, at the Belgian Festival. The band Marmont were playing them, and their bass player had my new favourite bass, which I spoke to him about afterwards, which I've just found on Andy Baxter today, and I'm wondering if I can stretch to it. A Gibson Les Paul Triumph.
Okay.
Do you remember them?
No, not at all.
Whoa.
What's a Les Paul Triumph?
Well, it's Les Paul only in sort of body shape.
Right.
A lot of the other features don't really fit the look, so it has two oversized single coil pickups in it, one in the neck, one in the bridge.
I think black. I know which one.
Loads
this is.
Of switching options on a weird
70s.
Separate.
Yeah. I know.
You
which
know
one
these
mean.
Ones?
Yeah.
They're short scale as well. Totally cool. But it sounded thunderous. It was brilliant.
Because there was another one. Are they like walnut colour?
Some of them are. Like,
you're just saying that because it's the '70s and everything is walnut colour.
There
in the
is.
70s.
I always thought that was called the Les Paul Personal.
Right.
Because he had a guitar called the Les Paul Personal, and there was a bass version of that, but maybe that is called the Triumph.
I'm surprised you don't know it, because it's not uncommon. It like turns up all the time sort of on eBay and things like that. But definitely, listeners and viewers, go check out the Les Paul Triumph bass.
What sort of money?
It's the one on Andy Baxter's is just shy of $3,000.
Whoa, easy now.
But they are super cool. Like a really interesting, unique instrument. Quite thin, the heaviest thing I've ever picked
up. Yeah,
I bet. Which was
it's the 70s.
Yeah,
everything was heavy in the 70s.
That's true.
So, not only are P basses wicked and SVT4s are confusing, Dan Grace, who is a regular podcast contributor. Well, uh-huh. he's been on this podcast a couple of times. He was playing his Custom Shop Nocaster through a old JCM 800, and it sounded unbelievable. Like, for a punk band, you forget. Like, you think, like, oh, yeah, humbuckers, definitely. You want humbuckers. You actually don't. You want the bass to be thick and the guitars to be thin. And a Tele through an 800 is, like, the perfect punk sound. Sounded so good.
And no effects, isn't it?
No effects, exactly, yeah. El Jefe from NoFX uses a Nocaster. But the other thing he had was one of those new Klon reissues.
Yeah, yeah.
The one that say the don't tell me about the hype or whatever it is on the don't blame me.
The hype is not my making or something like that.
And it sounded well good.
Yeah.
So good.
I got him that, kind of.
You got him that?
Well, no, not really. His girlfriend asked me what to get him. And I said, get him that.
Just get him a Klon. Yeah, don't worry about it. Yeah,
she was I just want to get him something special. And I was like, there you go.
Yeah.
And he was
that is totally cool.
Yeah, it was cool.
Nice.
Speaking of Telecasters, Tom Peters, who is a podcast listener and contributor on the Facebook, and actually is the guitarist in Alpha Male Tea Pie, who we did a rig rundown of back at Kato
Studios.
For
legal reasons, not a rig rundown. A pedalboard showcase.
A pedalboard showcase. Sure. Yep. And he recently popped down to see me, and he bought the last Fender Classic Player triple Tele.
Do you know what I saw on the same day? Not only did he put his picture up of the Classic Player triple Tele, but someone else put a picture up of the Classic Player HH Strat, which was the one with the two a wide range Fender humbuckers that had a bound the 60s neck on it.
Yeah.
They both came out at the same time, and I assume they're both discontinued.
Yeah.
And it was really weird, like one picture after another on the Facebook group.
Classic Player is one of the best things to come out of Fender. I'm quite worried that it seems to be, they seem to be discontinuing.
Man, when the Baja Tele goes, imagine the fights there's going to be over the last one.
I think they're going to discontinue it.
I think they will as well.
Why?
Especially, well, because of the news that we're not allowed to talk about yet.
Oh, right.
About their new stuff.
Well, we can't say anything approaching anything about that.
Yeah,
so,
fine.
Triple Tele. So that's a Tele with three Strat pickups angled, right?
No, wrong. Three Nocaster.
Bridge pickups. Even in the neck.
Yes.
Yeah.
And in the
really
neck
weird.
Is where Tom Peters loved it. We took it downstairs into one of the booths and put it through a Marshall Jubilee.
Yeah.
And it sounded incredible, especially on the neck pickup. It had all the spank of a Tele with just a little bit more low end. It sounded almost stratty, but with more substance. It was great.
That's a really good guitar.
Hearing the sort of pickup configuration, I was like, it looks odd, but I've no idea how it hasn't become. I don't know why this is the first time it's occurred.
Well, I guess
it's great.
Just,
most
Tele players wouldn't want that. They'd want the regular Tele pickup in the neck. You know, like most people are quite conservative about pickups and stuff. So,
yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, what a cool sounding guitar. I think there's a GAC demo of it that friend of the show Lewis Porter plays on.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
It sounds really good on there.
Yeah. So it only comes in black with a
black plate,
non-vintage tint gloss neck.
Yes.
And yes, it's a single ply black plate as well, which is what makes it super cool.
They're really cool. They're really, really weird guitars. When it first came out, I was like, this is exactly the sort of three pickup. This is the only three pickup guitar I would ever buy.
Yeah.
Because it's three bridge pickups.
Yes.
And then I tried it and I was like, this is maybe a bit too abrasive even for me.
It's very abrasive, isn't it?
And then but you spend a bit more time with it and it's, they're such a strange guitar.
Well, it's all the same pickup as well.
I know, it is, yeah. It's three custom shop, three
custom shop Nocasters.
Custom shop Nocaster bridge pickups.
And it's amazing to hear how they can sound so different. Yeah, of
five-way selector as
well.
So you
got, like...
you get the out-of-phase options.
Yeah, yeah.
But
so
it's amazing
weird.
To see how just the placement can make a pickup sound so different.
That was my comment on that photo as well, was how interesting it is that, you know, all you do need to do is move the pickup just slightly. And I guess we see it a lot with... it's not something you see on guitars hugely because, you know, there's only really two standard positions for pickups, but you... I've always thought it quite interesting with the EB series, like the EB-O and the EB-3, the SG style basses.
You can
sometimes
also
get
on the SG bass.
But you can sometimes get the same pickup in slightly different places, and it can make such a difference to the sound, can't it?
Yeah,
and it is really weird to think just how much that can make a difference.
I was looking at a Instagram page earlier of a bass that has a single Music Man pickup, but it slides the entire length of the right. body, and you well, can lock
few,
it in
a
position.
A few people have done that.
Well, Dan Armstrong most famously did the kind of sliding pickup and stuff. So.
That's right, and obviously Gibson did it with, was it the Ripper or the Grabber that did it?
I can't remember, one
I
of
think
those
it was
two.
The Ripper.
The Ripper that I had didn't do that, so maybe it was the
because
Grabber.
Because I thought the Grabber was three pickups, three single coils.
There's a Grabber S3, I think, which is the one with the three pickups, and then I think the Grabber is the one with the
sliding pickup. I'm into the idea. I think it's a great idea.
I think it's super cool.
Who else did it? I think maybe Italia did it. I mean, they were a big fan of ridiculous options. Oh, actually, no. Italia didn't do it with the pickup. They did it with the thumb rest.
Nice.
You could slide that up and down the body.
Yes.
Great.
Beautiful.
Just
beautiful.
Have a massive hole in the front of your instrument just so you can slide a thumb rest. Right.
Anyway, one last bit of business before we dive headlong into the news. Gear of the Year is upon us. We're going to be recording it in, what, a couple weeks? Something like that?
Yes.
Week and a bit?
Yes.
December the something or other?
Fourth, fifth?
First weekend
sixth.
In December? Something like that.
Good.
So you better be around.
Yes.
Good. So what that means is listener choice is one of the categories this year, as it has been for the last few years. Listener choice is now available for nominations on the Facebook group. So you can get in there and nominate your favourite bit of gear to come out this year.
Should we have made it a poll?
We will make it a poll. Basically, I'm going to leave it open for the next 3 days, so until Thursday, and then on Thursday morning I'm going to switch it. Pretty much anything that's been mentioned a couple of times or more, I think, is going to go into the poll, and then people will get a chance to vote on those things. So, yeah, if you want to, push your favourite product to the top of Gear of the Year, then the listener's choice is the way to do it. Basically, unclouded by our opinions.
Oh my goodness! But we get vetoes anyway, so I can get rid of all the stupid ideas that people.
You do get
with.
A veto, yeah. Well, not a veto, but you know, you can argue against it. So yeah, basically, what will happen is the winner of listener's choice will go through. Oh no! In fact, the last two, one and two, will go through to the final of Gear of the Year. So
listeners, can I ask you something?
No,
you can't.
No,
ask them. You're not allowed to influence.
I'm not influencing them. I'm just saying, be creative this year. Last year, you brought us the Blackstar Fly 3.
No.
Yeah, which is
no,
a good amp.
That was the year before.
Was it? Well,
that was the year before. And if you remember, Joe Branton, cast your mind back fondly to my favourite category of Gear of the Year, which is last year's Gear of this year's award. So
what? 2016's Gear of 2015.
Right, so last year, what we did was we chose the top eight. We got the top eight or whatever it was from the previous year.
Yes.
And we're like, right. So that year, the Strymon Deco won Gear of the Year.
Yeah.
Do we think it stood the test of time? Do we think this has stood the test of time? Blah, 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 blah. And what we discovered was the item that had stood the test of time best was indeed the Blackstar Fly 3. That was what made it back. And therefore, my friend, the listeners apparently knew better than we did.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
100%.
They had the long sight ready to go, whereas we were just the short sight. Although I should mention that I was not in favour of the deco at the time, but there we go.
If you want to make it interesting this year, listeners, find double neck guitars that were released this year and enter them.
No double neck guitars have come out since the 1970s.
I will fight so hard to have them go through into the final. Put double neck guitars in, if nothing else, just to annoy Mark.
Joe Branton's choice cannot win Gear of the Year this year. That's all I'm saying.
It wins every year.
No,
I've won every single year.
Absolutely have not. No, you have not.
It's anyway. Like Gear of the Year is the opposite to my performances in the quiz.
What, they're rubbish?
Yes.
Have you performed better? Didn't you win the first quiz?
No, I did the first quiz.
Oh, you started the first quiz. Yeah, that's why you did the first quiz.
I'll never win one.
Yeah. Just need to know a bit more, really.
Well, I just thought I'd host them. I didn't realise we were going to pass the mantle. It's pointless. I only know about bases.
Like, it's like Eurovision. You know, whoever wins does next year's one.
Oh, yeah, fair enough.
Anyway, shall we do some news?
New Daughters.
First up, don't really know what to say after that. First up, Gibson have announced a brand new Mark Knopfler 1958 Les Paul.
Well, holy heck.
They have. Coming out of the custom shop, I take it.
Yes, yeah, they're only making 300.
Oh, okay, easy. Just everyone can buy one of those then. I'm sure they're really cheap, right?
They've all pre-sold, actually. Okay, this fine. It's almost pointless, this being in the news. I don't think there's any available stock. I'm pretty sure they've all gone. So 300 models were made. 50 of them were relict as well.
Aged and signed.
Yeah, aged and signed. That's right. Yeah, so you're looking at, in pounds, about $4,500 for...
Well, that's not as much as I thought.
No, that's okay. It's all right. It's less than a true historic. They are absolutely brilliant. So yeah, it's a copy of his 58 Les Paul. It's weird, isn't it? Because when it sort of came out, I was like... Well, he was a Strat guy.
Yeah.
But apparently he played this 58 Les Paul once, so okay. Gibson of...
Nice. Yeah, I'm sure it was more than once.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But yeah.
It looks great. Like, the flame top is fantastic. And yeah, I mean, it's Gibson Custom Shop, isn't it? So it's bound to be absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah. Yeah. Apparently it's actually on loads of stuff. He used it loads in the studio. So I was just genuinely unaware of that. That is probably just my...
Yeah, I thought he was strapped for
lack of Knopfler knowledge.
Knopfledge.
Yes, exactly. But yeah, but it looks totally cool. It's absolutely worth checking out. I think it's one of their best sort of examples, especially on the relic ones. If you can just have a look at it, it's really nice closet classic style relicking. So I'm a big fan of that. And yeah, and not as much as a true historic with buckets load of character, so a cool release.
It's a little thing, but one thing I really like about it is that they've done what they call broken headstock edges. So yeah. It's got like rolled edges of the headstock, because Gibson Les Pauls are always really sharp around the headstock. They've obviously just rolled that off. That's what happens to an old one. You tend to find that they like get kind of rolled essentially on the edge of the headstock, and they've kind of pre-done that on there.
That's cool.
I know it's a real stupid thing, but it's just one of those things where if you're spending $4,000 on a guitar or whatever it is, that it's just a bit nicer. Just at those little touches. And again, that's why, you know, the more that you spend on guitars, generally the less the difference is as you go up the kind of pricing scale. But just those little touches make it just seem super nice.
I did think, kind of for me, the True Historic series and the Historic Select series and the Standard Historic series just had... they were maybe a touch too much in places.
Touch too much.
Exactly.
Should say more on guitar.
This is kind of, I think, this is exactly what a Les Paul should be. And it's not... It's expensive. It's very expensive. But this is kind of like the right price point for a perfect Les Paul.
Yeah.
Whereas the True Historic, for me, because they go up to around £8,000, they've almost, at that price point... It for me personally becomes unachievable.
Yeah,
for them to make something that's worth that.
Yeah, whereas, I mean, it's almost not a guitar. It's almost not a guitar at that point.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas it's this like, is kind of like a get it, but like
I sort of feel like I could save up $3,000. Like if I didn't have any other responsibilities, I could pay $3,000 for a guitar.
Yeah.
Don't think I could ever pay $8,000 for a guitar.
No, exactly. Yeah.
Just couldn't. It's too much money.
Exactly. And especially, and I always fight the corner of relics, but especially when a lot of those true historics are heavy relic, an $8,000 heavy relic.
Do we know if the age and sign ones are more money?
Yeah, they are.
Okay.
They usually are.
They're gone. Like, you can't buy one.
Yeah.
No one listening will be able to get hold of one. Unless you got hold of one already.
That's one of the things, as a little insider tip, for people who aren't childish orcs like the three of us are, childish people who don't own their own homes, who, you know, if you're a bit more settled in life and you potentially could spend this sort of money, the thing to do, if you're a bit gutted that maybe you've missed out on a Mark Knopfler, the thing to do is to, and I can say this because I don't work in a guitar shop anymore, get friendly with your local guitar shop.
Yes.
Because I can almost guarantee that these were announced and the people that work in the guitar shop got on the phone to the people that they thought would probably want to buy them.
Yeah.
And they got sold immediately.
I never promoted them.
Yeah.
Normally being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra.
and UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I made a banner to promote them. I think it actually did go up for a day, the banner, to be honest. And then I had to take it down because we'd sold them all.
Because they're gone,
We got four, and I think about half of the 350 got into the
and
UK.
I think that's the thing, is that it's... with all of these, you know, we had it the same when I was in the shop. We had it the same with the Rosie, which was the Clapton Harrison... or was that the Lucy? I can never remember.
The Lucy.
Both of those went immediately. We ended up with one of those slash aged and signed ones.
Yeah.
That went immediately. Anything that's like limited, you almost, unless you've got someone on the inside, you're almost certainly never, like, not even never going to like get a chance to buy it. Just never see it.
Yeah.
And so it's always worth making friends with someone at a local guitar shop if you can.
It's amazing how many of these, like, even working in the shop, how many of these limited edition things you'd never actually see, because people would buy them and say, oh, I just want it straight in the box, don't open it.
Yeah.
And they'd come in and then they'd just go straight out again, or not even come into the store, you know, they'd go into a warehouse and then go out to the person who had bought it. And yeah, it's kind of weird, isn't it, that there's probably some amazing guitars that have passed through our hands and we haven't been able to see a few of them, you know.
Yeah,
very weird.
And actually, there's a someone in the YouTube comments. The Penguin Hitman has just said something that's quite interesting.
That is the best YouTube. The Penguin Hitman.
The Penguin Hitman has said something that I think is actually quite interesting, and also a very good point, in that these guitars are almost made as like statement pieces to promote the fact that you can go to the custom shop.
Yeah.
And like the true historic stuff is like, they're not really designed for many. And I mean, I'm sure that people do go and spend a lot of money in there, but you also don't have to. You know, like you say, if you wanted to go and spend $3,000 on a guitar, which is a lot of money, but you know, that is something that you could do, especially with a lot of these places will do fairly good finance options on Gibson. You know, I think that's what a lot of these guitars are. They're statement pieces. They're like, look, we can make this, or if you want something that's like that but not quite as expensive, come speak to us and we can do that for you as well.
Let's do one more bit of news. Mid-Fi Electronics have announced the Magic Eye Envelope Controlled Overdrive. I had a quick listen to this on YouTube. It's really weird, really cool. So envelope controlled obviously means the harder you hit the guitar, the more distortion there's going to be. You've got the spec sheet up there, Joe.
I do, yeah, and I have absolutely no idea how it... I don't understand. I don't really understand. I don't know what clipping is.
Okay, well, that's like how you create distortion, basically.
Right.
So what are they saying about it?
They're saying that the harder you play...
The bass control is pre-clipping and the treble control is post-clipping.
Yeah.
Okay.
And if you play lightly, the clipping portion of the circuit moves away, and you play harder, the clipping circuit moves in.
Yes, exactly right.
So the harder you play, the more drive you get. It's like
Boss introduced this with the Dyna drive.
Or even before that, with the Dyna drive.
Very different. That's okay. Doing it in a very different way. So this is, to boil it down to as simple as it can get, the harder you play, the more distortion you're going to get.
Right, okay.
So, and it's kind of constant as well. So the reason it's called Magic Eye is that there's a big kind of like ominous looking eye in the center of the pedal, and that basically pulses with the LED in the center of that pulses with like how hard you're playing. So the harder you play, the more distortion there is, the brighter the light is, and the softer you play, that light doesn't essentially come on quite as bright. So kind of gives you a bit of an indicator of like how hard you're hitting the drive.
That sounds totally cool.
Yeah, it's
how much is it hitting the shelves at?
It was $225.
I think they're a very small company. I've not really heard of them before. Yeah. So yeah, it's an interesting thing to check out. I think it would be one that, you know, go and listen to a demo. Like, you're not going to see this in a guitar shop, and even if you did, it probably would be confusing to begin with, it because it's not just a regular drive pedal. You know, there is, you know, if you've been used to like, you know, the Boss Dyna drive, that idea of like hitting the guitar harder and getting more drive, or you know, anything that's envelope controlled, if you've got an envelope follower or, you know, an auto wire or something, you understand that concept of like how you hit the guitar will change how the pedal sounds. So but super cool. I just like the fact that it's got a big glowing eye in the center. That looks
cool.
Amazing.
That's cool.
Have you got some news, Joe Branson?
I've got a couple of bits of news.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, first of all, a couple of weeks ago I mentioned a local to us, Brighton pedal manufacturer, and I couldn't remember the name of the company.
Yes.
It was Electric Death Pedals.
Yes.
And I wanted to give them a little shout out because I think everyone should go and check out their page. They're only on Instagram at the moment. It's Electric Death Pedals.
Okay.
One word. And have a look at their range. He's taken some pictures of their complete range, but some of the stuff they do is bonkers. They do things like, they do some stuff that's like a Marshall in a box and an Orange in the box, but he's actually Tolexed the pedals.
Nice.
Okay. As well, like around the control, so it's almost an amp lying down.
Okay.
Which is quite cool.
Okay.
They look great, and he does a range of pedals that are themed after the Watchmen superheroes, which is quite good. That's
fully licensed.
Yeah, of course. He's definitely.
I think I maybe made that joke before.
I've ordered his
the comedian
Coctoir. Yes. Yeah.
A comedian Coctoir.
Yeah.
Why do you need a Coctoir?
Yeah, why do you need that?
I thought it was a Q-tron.
So completely the opposite of Coctoir.
Oh well. But yeah, that's going to be fun. But
cool.
Yeah, he does some other really interesting stuff as well. The Sputnik one,
okay,
which is the weirdest sort of self-oscillating.
A lot of models for a small company.
A lot of models, maybe 30.
Really?
In the range.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, he's taken like some top-down pictures of every single pedal, and he makes them to order. The replicant delay. He does these oversized knob controls on some of them, which are massive controls.
Massive knobs.
Yeah, massive knobs on there. But I think really cool if you want to manipulate them with your foot, which is the idea, certainly with his replicant delay and things like that. So it's a really interesting Instagram page, and everyone should go check that out.
Cool.
If there's anything you want, we'll do a demo when we get there.
Yeah, and stuff, definitely
so
up for that.
The other news, I know we don't really use our podcast for this, but as it is our podcast and it's a friend, good band.
You haven't got any friends.
I know. A very good band called All Right the Captain had all of their gear nicked whilst they were in Derby last week.
Did their van not have a lock in it, and they
left it on the ferry?
They parked it outside like the drummer's house, so obviously whoever it was had followed them there because they took everything, amps and all, like every single bit.
Really?
Opened the back of the van, took it all.
It was a pro job.
Yeah, it was a pro
job. That sucks.
Yeah, so it sucks. And a lot of their gear was quite standard, so it's pointless me talking about it. But just one of them was his guitar was one of the black on black Fender Jaguar HH, the Specials. That they did a while ago with a matching headstock.
Yeah,
probably did them about 10 years ago, I think.
No, not that long ago.
He bought it 8 years ago, so it was about...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That is one of the Japanese ones.
Oh, was it?
I think.
Right.
I think they were one of the only Japanese guitars you could get at the time, if I remember correctly.
Okay.
But he,
IIRC.
He fitted it with a set of Crash Magnetic Transducer humbuckers.
Okay.
One red and one black.
Right, okay.
So they're quite unique pickups.
Yeah, that should be a guitar to spot,
exactly,
basically.
As well. So I just thought I'd give them a mention. If you see an HH Jaguar with I think it's not the tops of the pickups that are red and black, it's the The winding.
Okay.
But still quite a unique instrument. If anyone spots them, they've of course discontinued that model, and I'm trying to get him something as close to it at the moment. I think a few of us are going to shout the money and get him one. But like, there's nothing close. There are no HH Jaguars really at the moment.
Even that, see he's got one of the Squire P90 or the Jazzmasters.
Yeah.
Which you might even struggle to get now, the hardtail ones.
Yeah. I think so, yeah. It's difficult. It's a tough selection
What's the name of the band? Where can we find them if people come across that guitar on there?
The band are All Right the Captain. Okay. The actual band is A Toto So, The band is A Toto So, which is a side project of All Right the Captain. So they're hosting it all on All Right the Captain's page. They have many more followers.
Okay.
All Right the Captain are the band. So if anyone sees one, yeah, let them know.
Anyway, well, we don't normally do that, but
no, we don't. Thank you for letting me.
If you ever lose any gear or anything like that, I'm sure we could make a little space for that on the podcast.
Community effort, yeah.
What we also need to make space for is Brand of the Week.
Brand of the Week. Is that okay?
Yeah, it was horrible this time around.
Oh, right.
Really horrible.
Yes. Okay. So, Brand of the Week. This week, I wanted to talk about Burney guitars.
Oh, okay, interesting.
So I'm not going that obscure. I've gone down a very, very super obscure route, and I was trying to sort of pull out of that a little bit. I was trying to make it a little bit more conventional. And I was just kind of thinking, I know a lot of people do know about Burney guitars, but I don't know how many people... I don't know
if people know actually what they are.
Yeah, because whilst they actually have UK... They have a UK distributor.
There is a
distributor... He deals with Burney in the UK.
Right.
Who?
Sutherland.
Do they?
Yeah. They're on their page. But I don't know any... I don't know if that's new. I don't know what's going on there because they are nowhere.
I think that must be new because Sutherland have only ever... As far as I was aware, Sutherland have only ever done Burns.
Yeah, I know.
Like, now they're almost exclusively...
Someone's just... Written over
Burnsy. You're not just getting mistaken. Are you thinking
about Mr. Burns? Burnsy.
No. No, it's definitely
good old Burnsy.
Yes, it's not
Burnsy Sanders.
But actually, the reason I thought of these is because a friend recently won a Burney guitar.
Okay.
In some sort of guitar magazine competition.
Oh wow!
So they're
actually doing stuff.
Yeah,
with
they're
them
clearly
in the UK.
Starting to turn up in the UK, which is great because. It's very tough to get them because they're a Japanese based company.
Yeah.
So Burney are owned by Fernandez, or at least Fernandez are the main name of the brand. Now, Fernandez.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah. So Fernandez started in like 1969, and they're a Japanese Fender copycat company for all intents and purposes. They famously, of course, we keep mentioning him, and I hate him completely, but Billy Joe Armstrong. Famously played a Fernandez Stratocaster.
He does indeed.
Does he still have it?
Yeah, still got it.
Still brings it up.
Fender made him about 10 years ago or 15 years ago. Fender made him a custom shop version of it. So the original one, as far as I'm aware, is retired. But there is an inch perfect replica.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, but yeah, so Fernandez are a Fender copycat company, and Fernandez introduced in the 70s their Gibson copycat arm of that company under the name Burney. But they still make guitars, normally available in the Japanese market. But if they are coming over here, now you can get them, you can import them. They're also, I found one shop in Germany listing them and a couple of shops in the States listing them. So you can get them if you're willing to get them imported. I appreciate some of you actually might not even live in the UK, but you can get them, and they are absolutely brilliant. They are kind of like Gibson, if Gibson would push the boat out in their standard line. So for the equivalent of, it's got it in yen, and I think I worked it out to be about £600, you can get a metallic shell pink ES Les Paul Custom.
You can.
With a Bigsby.
Yes. Wow, that looks phenomenal.
Yeah.
So,
that's great.
Yeah, for a little description for people listening and watching, it's, as Joe says, it's a shell pink sparkle. it looks like just a Les Paul Custom, but it's got the F-holes, like the ES version. So my history with Bernie is that when I went to Japan a few years ago, they were absolutely everywhere. And a lot of the bands that we were playing with were using Bernie guitars. Loads of like SG Juniors and stuff that were Bernies.
Yeah, they're not so much in their newer catalogue. They still do SGs, but I didn't see a Junior in there.
Okay, fine. Loads of like Les Paul Juniors that are Bernies.
Yeah,
and some great loads of Les Paul Customs. Actually, that seems to be like one of the things that they focus on.
They have a massive sort of range of those. They also do like Mockingbirds, which look really cool. They actually do Jazzbox stuff and 335s as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, the coolest stuff I think that they do is their range of Les Pauls. They actually do a sort of Moss Righty model as well.
They
also do basses, and they do have Pink available as a color.
Yes. What sort of basses do they do?
They do a short scale solid body Les Paul bass.
Do they? Yeah. In Pink? Is that how you stumbled across this?
No, they don't do it in Pink, but that's okay. But yeah, they do some cracking instruments. One of the things that especially stands out is their Fender scale Les Paul with gold hardware, a locking nut, and a Floyd Rose.
Yes, just what you want. What you want.
Exactly.
Do we know if these are made in Japan?
I'm afraid I don't know at the moment. I think I did read that they're now made out of the old Tokai factory.
Okay.
So that'll be China, I guess.
Well, it depends. Tokai, again, made kind of all over the place, really. I've seen Japanese ones, Korean ones, and Chinese ones. So, yeah, it could possibly be. Oh, they do a...
they do a P90 Les Paul.
No, the one above it is the... whose model is that? With uncover pickups and the chrome scratch plate. I can't remember. There's a famous guitar that is that guitar, basically, and they do I can't remember which player it is.
Paul Stanley?
No. Oh, that's upsetting that it's escaped my brain.
But they do they have a massive range of stuff. Lots of it is super...
they do quite a lot of pointy stuff still as well, don't they?
They've got their end of pointy stuff, yeah. But yeah, they have some extremely interesting looking models in the bass area. If any bass players want to check out the their artist signature section, where they do the
Jana de Arc, I'm going to say that's the name.
Yeah, fine. They do a kind of almost
it's a double cut Les Paul bass almost with some weird horns on there
in
a Strat jack socket on the front of the guitar, a weird sort of two-a-side headstock in shell pink.
I'm not sure that's shell pink.
Oh, it's like a lipstick pink. Yeah. Very nice.
This is a better colour.
So are all of these available in the UK?
Probably not.
These are all their... no, they're not yet, but you can still get them. You can certainly import them to wherever you are. That's not going to be a problem. They do have a current catalogue. I think that's what's most important, because they didn't for the longest time. So it's great that there is a kind of current catalogue that's quite substantial.
Yeah.
Hopefully they will have they will be appearing more and more in the UK.
We need to get in touch. We need to find out what's available.
Absolutely. They also obviously this stuff is all a lot of them are great looking sort of Gibson alternatives, really high quality copies, and for like half the price as well.
They're
very, very good. I've got a lot of time for these.
My first experience with a Bernie guitar was not long after I assumed a little bit of responsibility in the guitar shop that I was working in.
Right.
And someone came in and they said, I've got this. Someone came in who was like a regular customer, and he was like, look, I've got this, I don't want it anymore. Can you buy it off me? And I said, look, I don't really know what this is. I don't really know what it's worth. And he was very upfront about it. He was like, look, it's worth about this. Just put it on the wall. It'll definitely sell. And it was someone that I was just like, okay, sure, fine, whatever. I'll just do it. And, you know, we'll figure out the money later, whatever. And it sold that day.
Yeah. I'm not surprised. I just had...
And that was my first experience with them. I had no idea that they were as sought after.
Well, that's it. Anyone who's had any dealings with them knows that they are extremely high quality.
Yeah.
And Gibson don't really have any high quality copycats. Like, you, it's normally on the budget end.
Yeah, and
with companies like Vintage.
I would say that's not true. There are brands like Heritage, and there's like a load of even like Goldsmith. British made. Well, not even Goldsmith's
on the budget line again.
I guess. Yeah. There are a lot of people doing high end Les Paul copies. We just don't necessarily see them because they don't, you know, have a lot of marketing. If you go looking for a high end Les Paul copy, you can find some absolutely incredible stuff.
Yeah.
Probably. What's interesting about Burnie is that, for a start, they're kind of using the Les Paul headstock, and also for the longest time, they were kind of one of the only cheap Les Paul copies that you could get. You know, there's Burnie guitars from the 70s and 80s, I believe, that were, you know, you could import from Japan and get yourself an actual get yourself a big deal. So, shall we dive in some questions? We've got quite a lot to cover, and we're near the end of the podcast. Oh, let's do it.
Questions.
Jay, have you got anything lined up from the YouTube?
Come back to me.
If not, okay, cool. This is from the Facebook group. Stefan says, best way to store guitars, upright, hanging, or flat? Any thoughts, Joe Branton?
I always play them, so I don't store them a lot. Well, that's not true, is it? I have loads.
You've got loads of guitars that you don't play.
I put them in they're on a stand.
Yeah,
they're on a stand. I think that's okay, isn't it? I don't like leaving things in cases if I can avoid it.
Yeah, I don't really. I think it depends on your house, really. Like, so, for example, I am, like, my house is generally okay. I don't think it's particularly damp, and it's not, you know, it's okay. So all my stuff's just out on a, like, six guitar rack type
thing. Actually, I think the way you store them is quite unhealthy.
Really? Why?
Just because you used one of those rubber stands, and I really think that you don't have to spend a lot, but even Stag do, like the fur.
What's wrong with the rubber
stags?
Ones?
It can corrode
the nitro.
Yeah.
Well, it depends on,
and especially on the neck
stand that you get, I think. Like, it hasn't, I mean, my guitar's been on.
You've
that.
Got one of those Hercules ones, don't
you?
Yeah, the Hercules
ones.
I
didn't realise that.
Is it? No, it's a Warwick one.
Yeah. They're okay, I think.
Are they? No, I'm sure some Hercules of them, are the you've only be one careful, that's okay.
You've got to be careful because some of the Hercules stuff is, and it depends. Some
Hercules do a range of stands that are specifically designed to not react
nitro
with
safe.
Nitro.
Yeah,
and
but
so I use those.
But I've seen white guitars that can go that can get really badly affected.
So my Les Paul Junior's been on that stand since 2007, 2008, and absolutely no problem at all. And that's nitro. So
I quite like have you seen the case stand that I have?
Yes. Fur lined Stag case stand.
Yeah, but it's quite they're not cheap, but they're quite good for just more general protection because there's so much. They're not just
the guitar's not just out, is it?
Yeah, it's not just sort of floating in the stand. It's sitting in there, sort of on a load of padding. That's quite a good state for a guitar to be in.
Any downside to hanging them on a wall? Do we think?
I think it depends. Again, it comes down to what sort of environment they're in. So where we are at the moment in my flat is. The scaffolding just came down from outside because they had to re-render the entire place because there was loads of damp everywhere. So I don't keep any of my guitars out. I think they need to be as sort of climate controlled as possible. They're just sat in their cases at the moment, which I think is as okay as I will be able to get away with in here.
Yeah.
I think you've got to be really careful when it comes to hanging guitars up. Lots of people love it, and I totally get that because guitars are super cool and you want to be able to look at them and you want to be able to pick them up as easily as possible. Like, even my guitar's been in the corner there, they're in the corner and they're in the cases, and every now and again I go over and I'm like, oh, I can't be bothered, you know. And when they're out, it's so much easier just to pick them up and whenever I come around to your house, I immediately just pick up one of the guitars because they're just out.
You keep picking up their Les Paul Junior that's like been missing a string for 2 weeks.
I know, I do keep doing that, and you keep going,
you know, there's no strings on that guitar,
and I'm like, oh yeah. But what you really need to be careful of is just silly things. And I used to say this all the time when I was in the shop, and people used to think I was a complete idiot for being like, don't hang your guitar up above a radiator.
Yeah.
And people used to be like, what do you think I am? But like, I didn't mind people thinking I thought they were an idiot, because every now and again you'd get someone and they'd be like, oh, can you not do that then? You know, and it's important to talk about these things. It really, you know, that's, I think, one of the things that we've always strived to, you know, there's no stupid questions.
Yeah.
Just stupid.
Only stupid people.
Hello.
But yeah, like, you've got to be careful where you hang guitars or where you store them, and make the best of what you got,
yeah.
I think, is the point.
Jay, you've got a question from Twitter.
I do, yeah. DSM on Twitter, who is a Patreon listener, says, I've got around £800 to spend on a telly.
Okay. I wonder what we're going to say.
What do I get? A Baha, an Elite, a Japanese? I prefer a Rosewood board and play mainly rock and roll and classic rock through a Blues Junior.
Yes. It's the ultimate guitar nerd's recommendation.
What's the point in this question?
So he prefers a Rosewood neck.
We know what we're going to say.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I would say Baha 60s Telecaster. Mm. But absolutely. If you can get your head around playing a maple neck, I do think that the 50s Baha is way better.
Completely disagree.
Why?
The classic player Baha 60s is equally as good.
It's
no,
not.
You're only saying
it's
it because
not.
You like
it's
the 50s.
Incorrect. The pickups in the 60s one are the pickups from the American Vintage 72.
Right.
And the pickups...
Wait, 72?
No, American Vintage 52.
Yeah.
Which is what's even weirder.
Yeah.
The pickups in the 60s are from the American Vintage 52 telly. And the pickups that are in the 50s telly are the Custom Shop Twisted Telly in the neck, which is what I've got in the neck of my offset telly, and a Broadcaster in the bridge, Custom Shop. So you get Custom Shop pickups if you go with the 50s.
Oh.
Yes. Where
see,
is,
Joe Branton.
Where
now
is there just,
you see.
The, and I mean, there's probably not a huge amount of difference between Custom Shop pickups and the American Vintage pickups. But to my ears, the pickups on the 50s one do sound better. But I think the Fender have sort of realised... I think there's a couple of things have gone on. Firstly, that like price range, that like £600 to £1,000 mark has sort of opened up a little bit.
Yeah.
Partly because the price of the Baha has gone up. So it's not like that £500 steal that it always was. But you do have the Elites now, which are somewhere around that money, aren't they? They're about £800. The Elites?
No, they're more than that.
No, the Elites
are
the same as the Deluxes.
Oh, they took over the Deluxe.
Yeah.
There is no Special. Well, the Special still exists.
Yeah.
The Special, I really like the Special. I had a Special, I really liked it. For me, it's always going to be the Baha. It's always going to be the 50s
Baha.
50s Baha, man.
There's some good FSR Japanese stuff at the moment.
Is there?
They're
okay.
Doing some matching headstock.
Oh, I've
stuff.
Seen those. Yeah.
Some limited edition. I can't remember the colour. What was that colour they introduced into their standard range for a short period a few years ago? It was like a crystal white. It was like a silvery white.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
It was like, they called it opal or something.
Frost.
Yeah,
something
like
frost.
That. Yeah, maybe that was what it was.
Yeah. Metallic
Olympic
frost.
Olympic frost?
Something like metallic frost.
Yeah, but it's like that. But it looks great with on a matching headstock.
I saw that.
That looks.
I saw
that
in the shop the other day. I thought it looked really cool.
That's cool, and I think the FSR Japanese stuff's really cool, especially if you like, you know, if you're asking what should I spend £800 on, meaning you've got £800 and you kind of you're not too fussed what you get. Getting something that's
a little bit different.
Yeah, is quite a cool way to go.
Yep.
Definitely. But 50s Baha all the way, right?
100%.
With a Blues Junior. Oh, unbelievable.
The J-Cross Spesh.
It is the J-Cross Spesh. Anyway, with that, that brings this podcast to a close. We are up at time. I think what we should do some more questions in the Patreon episode, right?
Yeah,
we've got
a
whole backlog of questions that we need to get to.
We always have a backlog of questions.
I know.
What happened? Where did the last hour go?
I know. This has been like just a show,
hasn't
it?
This was quite structured.
No.
Did we ramble a bit?
Yeah.
No, not that much.
Maybe.
Only the normal amount.
Oh, okay.
I can't remember.
No, all good. So we're going to do some more questions. We've got questions from Lee about alternate tunings. Question from John about amps to pair with a Blues Junior.
I did see this. Yeah.
Questions from Nick about string changing. A question from Charlie, who is actually... We can answer this now. Charlie says... Can guitar nerd mugs be a thing? And I think the answer
it's
is...
like he read our minds.
Yes, guitar nerd mugs, hopefully.
Did you see?
In the next
couple
weeks.
People were anticipating loads of the stuff that we actually...
We've got the design is confirmed. We've actually been talking about this behind the scenes for a little while, and we've got
we're
really
talking we're, about it. arguing about it, yeah, arguing is more about appropriate.
It. You're right. It was arguing about it. It did get a little bit heated. But we've decided, and there will be, I guess we can make an official announcement, there will be, in time for Christmas, Guitar Nerds mugs and a new run of Guitar Nerds t-shirts with a new design on it.
Yes. Not just a new design.
It's a new logo, a rebrand.
Very exciting.
But if there's anything else,
we're now called
Guitar Nerds,
Boss Pedals.
If there's anything else that you would like,
umbrellas,
like us to make and then pay us money for,
I'm thinking the Branto rant.
What even is that?
Is that a hotline? No,
the Branto rant is going to be these new solo podcasts I do where I just. Well, I just slag things off.
Patreon.
Yeah, Patreon. That's perfect. Every week, the Branto rant. And there's going to be a line of Branto rant t-shirts that just says Branto rant and has a big face, big picture of my face.
Can we set up a hotline?
Nice.
Which is like an expensive hotline, but it goes directly to your phone.
Premium rate.
It's like fiver a minute. But anytime it rings, you have to pick it up and you have to rant down the phone.
Yeah, yeah. At any point.
That's but you have to idea. Share the money. With us.
Right, yeah. Okay.
Guitar Nerds golfing umbrellas?
Yeah. It flags up on my time hop actually this week when Gak got those umbrellas.
Yeah.
We got some umbrellas done and he's gone.
Joe Branton's gone.
We got some umbrellas and they weren't selling umbrellas. Until I took a picture of myself holding one
and they outside
in the rain and hotcakes, mate.
Indeed. So anyway, if you want to hear us answer those questions and more
questions,
or firstly, if you want to, we'll keep you informed about the mugs.
There's going to be there's going to be pre-orders going up for the t-shirts.
Merchandise.
Maybe this week.
Swag.
So on Patreon, we'll also have questions from Stefan about Boss ME25s, Isaac about Kempers, and. A question from Levi about being vegan, which you guys can talk about, I guess. Patreon.com/guitar nerds, where you get an extra half an hour of Guitar Nerds content every week from as little as $5.
Yeah.
At the $10 price point, you get your name read out thusly.
Chris Connors, Andy Joss, Steve Mitchell, Blair, Tom's Callis, Manja, Andrew, Michael, Mark Cross, J.D. Shaw, David Terrell, Andy McKenzie, Brad Pitt, Paul Talton, Jack Godfrey, Real Clear, Scott O'Brien, Matt Quan, Phil Johnson, Lonnie, Hansis Moot, David Conan, Anderson.
Is there a week before Christmas where you're not here? Because I feel we should probably read the names out normally at some point.
No, we could do an elongated podcast where I read them all out at half speed.
Okay, sounds good.
Yeah. And then, but at that point, you should push double speed on your podcast.
So it just speeds it back up to normal.
Yeah. Exactly.
Can
we get caps?
We could get some Guitar Nerds caps.
Make Guitar Nerds great again caps.
No, absolutely not.
Huh.
Jay would kill you.
We're not doing that.
No. So if you want more of that, patreon.com/guitar nerds. Patreon backers, do go in the Facebook group and let us know if Joe reading out your name like that has become offensive and made you not want to sponsor it anymore.
Yeah.
Or if you really like it.
I don't care what you think.
You might like
Listen,
it.
Listen, save it for the... Save it for the hotline.
Oh, yeah. You might like
hotline
it. If you think Hotline Brants is a thing that we should be doing, then let us know in the Facebook group. Facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds forum. Or you can tweet at us at Guitar Nerds on Twitter. You can join us on Instagram at Guitar Nerds. If you want to just go and abuse Joe Branton at Joseph_900.
Hey, I'm not the one who F-bombed this podcast.
I'm not giving out any of our other Twitter things.
No, can we put mine out? Mine is Joseph_900.
Yeah, but if you want to get in touch with me, it's actually at Joseph_900.
I can't remember Matt's.
Oh, I think it's at Joseph_900.
That's it, yeah, that's definitely
and
it.
And what we want is unsolicited abuse, basically.
Just do whatever. What I'm going to start doing is just ranting at
Branto
anyone.
Rant.
No,
anyone
save
who
it
messages
for the hotline.
Me on
save
Twitter.
Save it for the hotline.
Okay. Branto Rant, coming soon to patreon.com/guitar nerds. Thanks very much, and we will see you next time.
Farewell.
Thanks, gang.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.